I think a lot of people underestimate how much guys gossip.
Girls will like be a little sly, they'll be shady, they'll like try to like manipulate you, or they have like hidden motives. But guys are just like, dude, I don't like this kid.
But do you ever think
Right.
that it like isolates you from others? Because I know for me, when I first started gaming, it was an escape for me, but eventually got to a point where it's like I wasn't talking to a lot of my friends. I was just, going home.
Yeah, there's definitely that aspect of like it taking over you, because it's like you want to be there. It's a fantasy for you, so you want to be there. I go to it. It's like it's something that I'm putting a lot of focus and like energy into, even though like it's what I want to like it's what I do when I want to relax, but also I put a lot of focus and energy into it.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Camden Podcasting Club. Today, I have a special guest, probably without a doubt, one of the most unique perspectives I've ever had on here. And I've said that before, but this time, I really mean it. And she's bringing probably a perspective that we've all really wanted to know, but we've never really heard until now. And so I'm so glad that she's been able to make it on today. Without further ado, Sammy Esposito, why don't you unmute your mic? Let us hear your lovely voice.
Hey, Sammy here.
Hey, Sammy. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Yep. So, question, how do you see yourself as a person, in the world?
I don't know. Like, I don't really like to define myself by terms, you know? It's like, I don't know. It's limiting. I feel like I'm my own unique character.
Huh. So, what do you do for fun? Like, what drives you? What keeps you up awake at night?
I'm not gonna lie, I play a lot of Minecraft.
Hey, respect.
Yeah. I've been trying to get into hardcore, but you know, it's tough.
Huh. And in terms of like the school social system as a whole, like where do you see yourself, like status-wise? Are you like the top dog, or like where are you?
I definitely don't think I'm top dog, but I feel like I get around. I'm not top dog for sure, but I get around, I think. Like, I talk to people.
Yeah, I don't know about that, Sammy. I mean, I think you're pretty up there,
Am I? Thanks.
Absolutely. So what is gaming to you? Like, 'cause everybody has a different definition of it, I feel, but in terms of everything, like how would you define it?
I don't know. For me, it's kind of like an escape. It's like almost like. Sounds weird, but it's like a fantasy world that I can go to. Like when I was little, I used to read books to do that, and now it's like I've moved on.
Yeah, so you don't really read books anymore?
I mean, I still try to read, but morally or mainly it's things that's going on, like current events and stuff. Like that's what I try to focus on, but like my actual escape is like playing Minecraft.
So, what is it about Minecraft that you like? Like, what's the escape for it, do you think?
It's just that like there's just so many opportunities and possibilities. I mean, the whole appeal of Minecraft really is that it's just your own world that you can create and manipulate in any basically way that you want.
Yeah. And like, I don't know, would you, and as a girl gamer, I'm curious,
Right.
like, does that give you, what's that like? Because you don't, it's just something that you don't see a lot of. I'm curious because so many other fields, right? Like sports, I'd say like reading again, like painting or whatever. It's, you see the split like rapidly closing in between guys and girls, but gaming, it's just utterly male dominated. So I'm
It
curious what you
really
think.
is. Right, all the people that I like play with, they're all guys. Everybody on Minecraft that I play with, it's like I'm on like a couple servers that my friends have made, and it's all guys who run it, it's all guys who play on it, and it's just me. And I don't feel like I'm I'm a guy, but also everything that I do is like this like male-oriented thing. So it's weird.
Yeah, like, why do you think that is?
Why do I think like gaming is more male oriented?
Yeah, like why do you think that is, and what do you think needs to change?
I don't really know. I mean, I feel like it'll probably close in on its own, but I mean, like The Sims. I used to play The Sims a lot.
Yeah.
And that's like a game that like a lot of females choose to play. I mean, it's really weird because The Sims is like kind of similar to like Minecraft too, where you can like create your own world and like do other things, but it's more people oriented.
Yeah.
And I don't know. There's just like this divide that I can't really describe, and I don't really know what it is, but there's clearly a divide between male and female. And it's not like bad, inherently bad or good, and it's not like we can like fix it or if we should or anything like that, but there's obviously a divide. And I think that's why a lot of things around like technology, especially because it's new and we don't really know how to approach it, is like divided between male and female.
Huh. And one thing that I've seen a lot of is that, like you were saying, like more people-oriented games, more creative-oriented games, you see a lot more girls there, even in Minecraft, but like in the competitive games, it's mainly all guys.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, I've played those games before, and I like them, but it's just, like, it's not intuitive in a way. It, like, it is, but the controls to learn, it's, like, I just don't feel like doing it. Like, I don't have that kind of drive to, like, learn how to do all these controls and everything, whereas, like, other games, it's just really intuitive. I feel like that's why maybe some certain parts of the population, they don't really try to delve into these sectors of like gaming.
Yeah. Huh.
But then you also see like Twitch streamers, like Twitch girls who like play games, like these kind of games just to like make money, I guess.
Yeah.
Cause like that's what like guys like to watch, right? Like,
sure,
they want to see competitive gaming and, like, all that kind of, like, first-person shooters and, like, the violent kind of games. And seeing a girl on screen, that's also part of the appeal.
Have you ever experienced any, like, harassment online for being a girl?
Not really. Like, it's more anonymous. Because it's, like, online. It's not like anyone knows what gender you are. But, like, it's more, like, internal biases. Like, people just kind of assume everyone's a guy. Like, I assume everyone's a guy.
Yeah.
Who's playing. So, it's less harassment. It's more just, like, I don't know. Maybe it's different on, like, other kind of games. Because, like, I primarily play, like, the less hardcore games, like Minecraft or, like, The Sims.
Yeah.
But.
So no, I mean, Call of Duty for you?
No, not really. I've played a couple times before, but I feel like I could get into it if I had, like, the patience and, like, the focus to, like, actually learn how to play.
Yeah.
But. No, for now, no.
So you'd say, so you're saying that it's not really the game itself, it's really just, you know, you just don't have the time.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I totally probably would waste a lot of my life on those kind of video games too, if I had the time and the motivation to do so.
Do you think
but if right was, now I don't.
Do you think if there was a culture, I guess, of other girls, you know, playing the same kind of games, do you think that would be something that you'd be more into, I guess?
Maybe, yeah. Because, I mean, people are, like, driven by these social norms. And, like, if everyone else is doing it, there's probably a reason why they are. Hmm. So, I probably would, too. But right now, it's just Minecraft.
Yeah, and Minecraft's good. Minecraft's good. And one thing I'm also really curious about is, you know, is gaming something that you can really talk to with your girlfriends, like, you know, or is it something that there's a stigma against?
It's not like there's a stigma against. It's just, like, it's not something you talk about, really.
Okay. Yeah,
I mean, go ahead, sorry.
No, I get that. Just continue on.
I mean, it's just, like, topics of discussion between guys and girls, it's really striking how different they are, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, again, it's more like girls are more oriented towards like the people aspect of things. Like, oh my God, did you hear what she did the other day? Or, oh my God, did you hear that he got in trouble for doing this yesterday? And then guys are just like talking about random stuff. Like, I mean, they also talk about that too, but it's more like, it's just different. I can't explain it.
I agree with that, but I mean, also, I think a lot of people underestimate how much guys gossip. And
That's true. They do gossip a lot.
A lot, yeah.
Yeah, but it's more like aggressive almost. It's okay. It's like I feel like it's more outwardly like mean at times. Like if it does have like a mean motive, like girls will like be a little sly. They'll be shady. They'll like try to like manipulate you. They have like hidden motives, but guys are just like, dude, I don't like this kid, let's not be friends with him.
Can you give an example, like a little story?
I don't know, it's just like some of the guys that I sit with at my lunch table, not like this year, like in previous years, they just like, they're just so outspoken. Maybe it's just like the people I hang with, but they're so outspoken and like they can get like mean.
They definitely can, but I feel like everybody is a little bit mean, and sometimes it's not a bad thing.
right.
So
like,
yeah, go on.
Sorry. Yeah, I didn't.
No, keep going.
I didn't really have a train to that thought.
Okay. No, it's all good.
I was just like grasping to like say something.
Yeah, so one thing I'm wondering about is, you know, you say that gaming is an escape for you, and I feel that's, again, that's common between guys and girls, but do you ever think that, like, isolates you from others? Because I know for me, when I first started gaming, it was an escape for me, but eventually got to a point where it's like, I wasn't talking to a lot of my friends. I was just, you know, going home, gaming all day, and it took over my life for a little bit, and I had to re-get that back. So I'm curious for you. Do you ever feel as if there's a temptation, you know, just dive into gaming and just never come out?
Yeah, a lot of times. Like, sometimes after I come home from work, people will be like, yo, let's hang. We haven't hung in, like, 3 weeks. And then I'll just sit down and be like, yeah, sorry, I'm tired. And then I'll play Minecraft until 4 a.m. So, yeah, there's definitely that aspect of, like, it taking over you, because it's like, you want to be there. It's a fantasy for you, so you want to be there.
Yeah, and what do you think gaming lets you do that you can't do in the real world?
I really think it's like allows me to express myself, you know? It's like there are things that like I can't say in words, or like just like things I want to do. Like maybe I want to punch something. I can do that in a game and not have any repercussions, but can't really punch someone in real life then get away with it. I mean, I could, but not ideal.
I mean, yeah, you definitely could. I mean, probably not the best idea.
Yeah, or sometimes, I don't know, I don't even know if it's like expressing myself. It's just like what I go to when I'm bored. But I don't know, it's really weird, because like sometimes I'll just go to it when I have nothing to do, or even when I do have something to do, I go to it. Yeah. It's like, it's something that I'm putting a lot of focus and like energy into, even though like it's what I want to, like it's what I do when I want to relax, but also I put a lot of focus and energy into it. So I feel like maybe it's like the incentives within the game that like make me want to do it. It's like some sort of psychology thing.
Yeah. Do you follow a lot of psychology?
A little bit. I took the class 2 years ago. I don't remember too much, but I liked it, I remember.
What's your life philosophy?
I don't really have one. I just think that, like, people should be free, and you should be able to do whatever you want.
I mean, that's a life philosophy right there. I mean, talk to some libertarians. I mean, you're basically that.
Yeah, I classify myself as that, kind of. I don't know. I don't really like to put political labels on things either. Like, that's like, putting a political label on yourself limits you so much. Like, if you say you're a Democrat, a lot of Democrats are, and Republicans too, like, a lot of political parties just so groupthink, you know? They just do what everyone else is doing, just because they're doing it. Like, do you even know why you follow politics? I mean, yes, it's for, like, the better for yourself and for society, but a lot of politicians really aren't doing that. They're just eyeing for power.
Yeah, and I mean, at the end goal, I mean, a lot of it really is to, like, better society, but I mean, a lot of it, times you just see it turning into, like, a grudge match, you know, like a football game.
Oh, yeah, politics is so polarizing these days.
Yeah.
I mean, it has been for, like, the past decade, but especially so in the last presidential term.
One thing I'm curious is that, do you see that when you're gaming, like, a lot of politics there, or is it usually free from that?
I mean, there's always some, like, there's, like, little political commentary. It's just, that's, like, just what's going on, you know what I mean? So, like, people talk about it a little bit, but no more than you would, like, see in real life, and probably less, I would say.
Yeah. How do you feel about, like, meme culture and, like, internet culture?
Oh, I love it. It's so funny. I think it's, like, a really nice break from, like, society, almost. Like, it's become, like, its own society, in a way. Because, like, you wouldn't talk to an adult the way you talk to your friends. Like, I really don't think my mom knows about the Area 51 things, or, like, like, all of that. So, but it's something that we actually discuss, like, between our own generation.
Yeah, and it's amazing how, like, there's sort of, like, this lightning-fast communication of ideas between, like, this whole generation of people, and it's just, like, it's just completely on the internet.
Right.
Yeah.
Give me just 1 second, sorry.
Okay.
Really sorry about that.
No, it's absolutely fine. We'll just cut it out. So one thing I'm really curious about is that, do you ever feel disconnected from some parts of internet culture because, you know, you're female? Or do you feel it's really inclusive? I'm curious.
I don't know. I really think it's not like I'm excluded, but I just feel like almost that, like, I guess it is a little exclusive, because I feel like I can't entirely be a part of it, because it's, like, a lot of times when I see, like, memes, girls just, like, are so unfunny. It's so unfunny.
It's just really utterly bashing girls there.
I know, but, like, it's true. Like, you see these, like, TikTok is dumb in the first place. I just want to say that. We saw people in the lunchroom doing TikToks.
Oh, that's a monstrosity.
Like, up and down the hall. Like, they're, like, dancing. Like, people were taking videos of them. Yeah, I know. It was terrible. It was so unfunny. And, like, I see, like, stupid TikToks of, like, girls doing stupid things. And it's just so not funny. And I feel like if I tried to contribute, I just end up looking like them. But also, like, the internet is really inclusive, because you can do whatever you want. It's not like anyone can say anything about it. I mean, they can, but it's not going to hurt you physically. And, like, you're anonymous. How are they even supposed to know?
Exactly, yeah. They'll never know. And
exactly.
Yeah, and I think it's really interesting that you say that girls that you're scared of making jokes because, you know, you feel that they'll be unfunny. Because I feel like most guys, they go through a lot of jokes that don't land. I think they just have more practice, to be honest, and that, you know, girls can be just as funny. But, I don't know, something. Do you feel that guys and girls are fundamentally different?
You think they're... Oh, yeah, totally. Huh. I don't know whether if it's social or if it's inherent or a combination of the two, but there is definitely a difference between girls and guys.
How much of that do you think is from the way you grow up, and how much of that do you think is just born?
I mean, going back to psych, it's nature versus nurture, right? So yeah. We really don't know, but I believe that the majority of it is societal, but also you are born with a certain pair of genes, and you are born with a certain pair of, like, physical parts, and there are hormones that are split between genders that one gender does not have and the other gender does. So there are inherent differences physically between male and female. I mean, it's kind of hard to argue that biologically. But societally, our behavior is probably more affected by.
It's really interesting. And talking about genes, I mean, I think it's safe to say for this podcast that you are an Asian American. Right.
Yes, I am.
Okay, so let's just talk about that for a second, because I feel with a lot of minorities, you see a lot on the news that, you know, this minority is oppressed, like, say, Mexicans or, you say, African Americans, but you don't see a lot of perspective from the Asian American community. So I'm just wondering, that do you feel like there's that same kind of discrimination there for Asian Americans?
I don't know. I personally haven't felt much discrimination. It's like little things, but those things don't really affect me deeply at all. Like, the only thing I remember being discriminated against, like, once in first grade, this, like, kid across the room, like, did the squinty eyes thing at me, and I literally didn't even know what that was until, like, 4 years later, and I thought of that, and I was like, oh wait, that's racist. But since then, like, I haven't felt, like, excluded just because I'm Asian.
Yeah, and I'm really curious, is that there's this whole idea of, you know, Asians are smart. Is that a pressure that you've ever felt?
Or not? Oh, really? Yes.
Oh, really? So
oh, yes.
That is all the time. That counts as discrimination, so tell me about it.
Oh, I don't know. I think that's just, like, a stereotype. Like, I guess it is discrimination, but it's, like, almost positive discrimination, because it's like, oh, yeah, she's smart because she's Asian. But, like, it's a lot of pressure, honestly. Like, the high standards of having to, like, be smart, like, get a perfect ACT, get a perfect SAT, get, like, a 5.0 GPA. Like, that's just not possible. Like, it's not viable. And I backed away from that. I was like, okay, I'm not doing that. So I, like, took a totally different path, and I stopped trying altogether. And, I mean, I still took, like, challenging classes, and I still did, like, decently well, but I wasn't trying to be, like, the Asian kid, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, everyone knows that Asian kid, like, you know, the valedictorian.
Yeah.
I think also at school, I think every single person who's been valedictorian has been Asian. Like, I've read the plaques and they've all been Asian. It's so weird.
Where do you think that pressure comes from? Do you think it comes from, I don't know, parents, or do you think it also comes from other students?
I think it mostly comes from, like, parents and also, like, other Asian people, because, like, it's within our culture. I mean, in East Asian culture, at least, education is the most important thing you can go through. It's the most important thing that you can ever do. It's more important than having a family. It's more important than, like, finding a good job or being happy, even. It's all about the education. And that's, like, I think it's, like, a fundamental of, like, Confucianism or something. I don't really know, but I just know it's really, really important within East Asian society.
Yeah. What else can you tell about Asian culture? Because I feel like it's so different from Western culture, and a lot of people, they just have no idea about it at all.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of, there's a lot of structure, I feel like, within Asian culture. And there's, it's less within, like, my own ethnicity, because I'm Chinese.
Okay.
And I feel like there's not as much of this hierarchical, is that how you say it?
Yeah, like, hierarchical. Yeah, you're saying it right.
Yeah. Of, like, status. But you still feel it. Like, it's very, very structured the way that society is, I feel like. You know your place. Like, you know if you're bottom rung, you're bottom rung. You can't, it's hard to move up. You can't move up. But if you're top rung, you can do whatever you want. And it doesn't really matter. It's very structural, I think. And, again, it goes back to education. It's like, what kind of education did you get? That's why a lot of Asian people are so focused on, like, getting into those Ivy League, those, like, you know, those gold label schools. Like, the big names that you all want to hear.
How do you think American culture differs from that?
I feel like Americans are more focused on happiness, like the pursuit of happiness. It's written in our declaration. I think they're more driven by ambition rather than wanting to be on top. They just want to find a passion and pursue it. A lot of people aren't really worried about, like, okay, I need to get into Harvard. They're more worried about, like, what schools can I get into with my current abilities? And, like not, if you don't want to go to school, that's no big deal after high school. It just, you just got to find a passion that you enjoy and pursue it. But within Asian society, it's critical for you to, like, rise up in that hierarchy and, like, be on top. Be that, like, number one achiever.
At what point for you did you just say, you know, this isn't what I want to do?
I think it started in, like, high school. I think, I don't know, I just saw all these, like, Asian people around me, and they were, like, working so hard, and, like, it almost was like they had no lives.
Yeah.
And I looked at them, and I was like, no, I can't do that. So I shied away from that, but I still took, like, hard classes.
Yeah.
I just didn't do as well. Like, I failed out of a math class. Isn't that weird for an Asian person to say? I failed out of math.
No, I think that's, I think that's really interesting, because there is more to life than just, you know, hard work and accomplishments. And
right.
I think you hit the nail on the head there. One other thing I'm really curious about is, in China, how do you perceive China as a whole, especially modern China? You see it a lot in the news. How do you feel about that?
Oh, God. My family's from the mainland.
Okay.
Mainland China, where President Xi goes and rules everything. I really think China's headed down as, like, a political entity, and, like, as a country, is headed down a really dangerous path. I mean, if you look at their political actions with their, what's it called? The, like, the New Silk Road, I think. Or, like, the, I don't know what it's called in English. It's, like,
no, I think I've heard of the New Silk Road. Is that the one through, like, Africa and, like,
right. They're trying to, like, what they're saying is they're giving money to African countries for them to develop more, but obviously that comes with ties, right?
Yeah.
It's basically, if you think about it, it's almost like modern-day colonialism. Like,
yeah,
they're taking these countries, and yes, they're pouring a lot of resources and a lot of money and time into, like, building them up. But there's also strings attached to that. Like, you can't expect China to just give these countries all the money and then not expect to be paid back. Like, China is indebting them. Is that right? Like,
yeah.
They're making them go into debt to China to make these countries better, which I don't know if that's right or wrong, but it doesn't sound so great.
Would you be scared to be in debt to China?
Yes. I'm scared to speak my thoughts in China. I'm scared to even think in China sometimes. It's really scary. I've talked about this a lot, but when I go there, the first thing you do when you enter the border, like in the airport, after you get off the plane, is you scan in your fingerprints, first of all. Then you scan your passport in, and then they scan your face. And then you can go on to immigration, which is another second process. And then you can go on to customs. And then you can, like, actually enter the country.
Holy crap.
Mm-hmm.
It's like 1984 right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's really, really Big Brother-esque. And it's been a really big point of contention for a lot of, like, Western people. Because they see that and they're like, oh my god, that's terrible. How can they do that? How is that legal in today's society? And, yeah, I think the Chinese have really... They don't really care, it seems like. Like, they just go about their day-to-day lives. The majority of them, at least. There are other places and other people within China that do not get the same treatment.
Yeah, I feel like other countries, like, you know, they care about, like, you know, human rights, privacy. The Chinese are just like, I don't care.
Yeah, they really don't. If you look around, they don't even try to hide it. There's cameras everywhere. Every street corner, there's a camera on, like, the street pole or in the train stations. The first thing you see when you enter, like, a subway station, first of all, there's cameras everywhere. And second of all, there's this, like, dude in a security guard office or, like, uniform or, like, a police officer. I don't even know. But he's, like, staring at, like, 50 screens in front of him, and it's all of people, and they're all, like, tracking people's faces, and, like, there's, like, information even sometimes that goes along with it.
Yeah, and I think it's really interesting that, like, you see a lot of criticism that from America, but a lot of that camera technology is actually made by American companies.
Yeah, that is true, but I don't see it as much being used for... I don't know if China's using it for malicious intent, but I don't really see it being used to, like, violate privacy rights as much in China as, well, as much in the United States. In China, there's a lot of, like, you don't have any privacy. Like, everything you say and everything you do is being watched, and you gotta watch out. There are people, like, who are getting arrested in China for something they say on social media.
Dang. I mean, if they saw my social media, I'd be axed. I'd be done for.
I know. That's why I get really scared when I go to China. Like, I don't say anything to anyone about China. Like, I do. But I'm also, like, trying to censor myself a little bit. Like, I feel myself actively censoring, like, my own thoughts. Because I'm afraid of, like, what they might do to me.
Yeah, and how do you feel about Hong Kong and what's going on? Well, first of all, can you explain what's going on in Hong Kong? What's been going on?
So Hong Kong's been also a point of contention in China for a long time. It started, really, when Hong Kong was handed over back to China, I believe in 1997. And we all know how Hong Kong is, like, basically the finance capital of Asia, and it's one of the finance capitals of the world.
Right.
It's just where you go if you want to do business, right? You go to New York, London, Hong Kong. That's where you want to go.
Right.
And China obviously wants to have this resource. So they've been trying to tighten their grip on Hong Kong. Like, they built this artificial city right next to Hong Kong called Shenzhen.
Yeah.
So they built that artificial city right before Hong Kong was being handed over to China. So I don't think that's a coincidence.
Hmm.
And then they're also, like, the Hong Kong government has become, like, a puppet government. Like, the head of the Congress, Carrie Lam, is very strongly pro-China. And, I mean, yes, Hong Kong's government has had its imperfections, and it definitely is not perfect whatsoever, even in its, like, structure. And even if there wasn't, like, these blatantly Chinese, like, placed people in Hong Kong's government, it still is flawed. Like, I believe 2/3 of Hong Kong's Congress is occupied by corporations, actually.
Dang.
Mm-hmm. So it's not actually the people being represented in the city.
It's kind of like the United States.
I didn't say so. I'm just joking. But, yeah. Yeah, so people want freedom there. They've been accustomed to it for years and years and years because they were occupied by the British. They were British territory.
Right.
And they had that financial freedom. And they had a lot... I don't know about how it was before then, but I just know that Hong Kong is a very free, self-operating, like, city of its own. It's very, very separate from China. It feels very different.
Right, and do you think that that difference is a good thing?
I think so for the most part. But of course, there's flaws to every system.
Right.
So in Hong Kong, there's this really, really huge wealth disparity. Because if you create a city that's like a haven for corporations, you're going to obviously have rich people. Lots and lots and lots of rich people. There's a whole big thing about it. It's not just like because of corporations. It's also because Hong Kong technically doesn't have corporation tax, I believe. So the way they earn revenue, like the government earns revenue, is land. And right. Hong Kong itself is already very, very small. There's no land for people to live on.
Dang.
So you got a lot of homeless people, but then a lot of the top 0.1%ers living in Hong Kong. It's really, really blatant to see.
Hmm. And
like walking down the... Sorry.
No, go on.
Walking down the streets of Hong Kong, you see like these really rich, like important-looking business people. A lot of Westerners in like these like fancy fitted suits and briefcases, and they're talking on the phone. And then you also, like, see them passing by these street vendors who are, like, dressed in rags. And these people who are, like, just sitting on the streets with nowhere to go because they literally can't afford to live there. But they're stuck.
Right. Huh.
But I do believe that Hong Kong deserves its independence. I believe that Hong Kong can change and improve these, like, social disparities given its independence, which China isn't likely to do.
Did you get a chance to participate in any of those protests there?
I actually did visit while the protests were going on, but it was one of the weeks where there was like a little dip in the protests. They like calmed down a little bit, but I did see the aftermath, and it was really jarring actually to see like the destruction and the passion that these people had for their city.
Do you think that same kind of passion happens in the protests at the United States?
I mean, it does, but not quite. It really feels like these people are fighting for their lives. I've never really participated in a protest in the United States, but the United States just seems more peaceful, like, in terms of its protesting. It's much less radical. Yes, there's radical, like, ideas and radical thinking that goes on behind these protests in the United States, but in Hong Kong, people are really fighting for their lives here. Like, they're fighting against the police. The police are like beating these people up. They're sending them to jail. They're like, the protesters are blackmailing the police. The police are like beating up protesters and like trying to identify like certain leaders within the protests. And, like, it's just this, like, almost a civil war going on between the two of them.
Right. And one thing I'm curious about, and just playing devil's advocate here, but hasn't China, though, lifted a lot of people out of poverty? And it is one of the fastest-growing nations on Earth, though. So is there some good to China?
Well, yes, there is a growing middle class in China. And a lot of people are being lifted out of this poverty, but you have to think about how China is going about it. I mean, you can't just have these, like, rapidly rising GDP numbers and the corporations who are going to China because China suddenly become like this good place for businesses to go. I don't know.
Do you believe
there's a lot of like regulation? And my aunt, she's a multimillionaire in China.
Dang.
And right, she gets taxed 55% of her income.
Holy crap.
Mm-hmm. She gets, and it's not like the tax brackets in America where it's like, all right, you technically are taxed 39% if you're the top 1%, but that's, you're only taxed like $100,000 of that amount because that's however much you're over the other tax bracket. So you're not taxed on the entirety of your income. But
exactly,
in China,
yeah,
they literally take half of your money. Yeah, and the only way you can function as a corporation and thrive as a corporation in China is to have ties with the government, which means there are limitations on to how fast and how much a corporation can grow there. Like her company, the government put a lot of capital into her company, and then last year they just decided to pull out. And so her company stocks went down almost 300%.
Holy crap. Oh my
God. Yeah. So, I mean, yes, China is growing really fast, and undoubtedly it is a booming economy, and I really think it probably will surpass the United States in the near future, but there's things that you have to think about that don't just account for the numbers and the GDP. Like, yes, it's growing 7% every year, but I mean, a lot of people in the cities too, the ones that live in the suburbs who travel to the city to find work, they're barely surviving. Like, they live in illegal housing because they can't afford even the government subsidized housing, and they work for like pennies a day, and they have to leave their children in the countryside just to work in some unsupervised factory job.
Yeah.
And so I guess China's trying to be better. It's trying to improve itself as a country and its reputation, but it's just, I don't know if within the country internally, if it's in good for the people.
Do you believe in the idea of the ends justifying the means? Because I feel like that's literally China.
Oh, right. Well, it really depends. If everything goes right, and if China can become a more Western society, I mean, that sounds kind of bad, but a lot of Western societies have these good economic structures. They have less poor people, a lot of middle-class people, and few rich people, too. So they have a lot of people who are thriving without fear of being poor and not being able to eat the next day. So China, yes, is doing well, and if it can achieve that kind of structure, then I do believe that the ends will justify the means, but I don't know if they'll be able to reach that in the near future.
Yeah, and the reason why I ask is because a lot of Western countries like America or like Germany or France, like, they had some really dark histories and they did a lot of terrible things to get where they are, and you could make the argument that China is going through that now. And if
they are, it is. I really think it is. I mean, maybe China's just a couple of centuries behind in history and it just needs to go through that imperialism loop to get to the place where it is right now. But yeah, China has really become almost an imperialist, like a neo-imperialist country.
Yeah.
Where you see it like trying to take territory that isn't theirs. Like, there's a lot of territorial disputes within China as well. and they're trying to like take over it, like the people who aren't like super super like Chinese, if that makes sense, like the Chinese Muslims living in West China,
oh,
the
Uyghurs, I think. Yeah.
Right. They're being institutionalized and re-educated.
So concentration camps.
Yeah, concentration camps that China has been setting up. They've destroyed 1,000-year-old mosques within their cities. They've totally wiped out the Muslim culture that used to thrive in those areas. All in the name of getting more power over their country. So.
Yeah, it's always like, at what cost?
Exactly. It's really high cost for what? I mean, a 7% GDP rise and second largest economy in the world. The U.S. has managed to do that these years without going to such extremes. I mean, yes, the United States has had its problems, and it certainly hasn't followed a lot of ethics. I mean, look at South America. Like, we basically did that to them.
Yeah.
But we're not brainwashing people into not being a certain religion just for the purpose of uniformity within the country in order to get more power.
Huh. It's really interesting because this is a little bit unrelated. I actually heard that Adolf Hitler got inspiration from the concentration camps from America with the Native Americans.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty interesting. Yeah, I believe it. Huh. America has had a tarnished past. There's no denying that, but every country has had a tarnished past.
Right. And so, to bring
it's
it all...
It's not excusable, but... Sorry.
Yeah, no, you're right. It is inexcusable. But I was just going to say, to bring it all together, through all your experiences, you know, being a gamer girl, being, you know, an Asian national, what is something that you've learned, you know, throughout your life that you think you can leave with the audience that they can take away?
Honestly, be free. Be yourself. Just do what you want to do. Because I believe that people are inherently meant to be free, and you can't take that away from them because they're going to do it regardless of what others command or what society demands. So do what you want to.
Right. And thank you so much for coming on this episode, Sammy. It was a pleasure having you on.
Thank you.
Just a reminder that everything said on this podcast may or may not even be true. It could all be fake. It could all be satire. But what's important is that everything on here is more real than anything you'll see on TV or Netflix. I want to thank you guys so much for listening once again, and be sure to submit your own stories anonymously to CamdenPodcastingClub@gmail.com, where I will read them in bonus episodes. In addition, if you know anyone who would love to be on the podcast who has their own high school stories, again, email at the Camden Podcasting Club